How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Tim Miller here. My name is Cameron Marley-Caskey. This is the Bulwark Podcast. We got a great day of content coming for you.
What's going on, Cameron? What are you doing here?
I'm spending the weekend in New Orleans with my friends Tim and Tyler and the wonderful Toulouse, and we are hanging out.
It's so good to have Cameron here. This isn't really a stupid, it's kind of like a little buddy comedy vibe. We're getting pretty close to each other, but it's been nice to have Cameron. I want to do a little weekend potpourri for everybody. Where I discuss a couple of topics that have caught my eye. But before I just rant to you by myself, I kind of wanted to get Cameron's take on what's happening with Thomas Massey in Kentucky, because it intersects with a few interests of yours. First, you have the Gen Z child of Rand Paul screaming anti-Semitic slurs at a bar at Mike Lawler.
And Mike Lawler isn't even Jewish, right?
Not Jewish, yeah. So there's that. And his Twitter handle is TastyBrew1776.
That's Rand Paul's son's Twitter?
Yes.
I mean, that's like
on the nose.
AI-generated conservative Twitter handle.
On the nose. Okay. It's also intersecting with you because, you know, you're doing some stuff for your boy Ro Khanna, who's been working with Massey on, you know, the Epstein bill and the Iran War Powers bill. And AIPAC is big in the race. So a lot of your interests are intersecting in this Kentucky congressional race. I was wondering your take.
It's a very fascinating thing. So for anyone who doesn't know, this primary to stop Thomas Massey is now the most expensive primary in history. There is more money that has been dumped into stopping Thomas Massey than ever before. And it's kind of
insane.
Yeah, it's kind of infuriating because here I am rooting for the most conservative member of Congress, the member of Congress who has cast the most Republican votes. Here I am saying, hold strong, baby. Yeah. If you're,
and he doesn't believe that like government should exist. He thinks government should like basically do like roads and military, and like that's it.
So for again,
and not even really military that much.
Yeah, for anyone who isn't locked into the Massey of it all, this is the most conservative person you could possibly imagine. So much, I mean, we're talking. This guy's got a farm. He's got patents. He's the type of guy who you picture sitting on his porch cleaning a shotgun.
Well, he has the guns Christmas card. Have you ever seen that?
That was Massey?
Yeah, that was the same.
I remember that, of course, because I have a gun control background, and I remember seeing that and being like, this is so psychotic.
A little risky.
And here I am being like, well, we need this man to win.
Explain that.
Well, I think it's kind of a referendum on money in politics. I think that at a time when we are reexamining money's role in politics and how much influence certain interests and organizations can have in our elections. It's interesting. We've got two groups spending a lot in elections. We've got AIPAC and we've got AI PACs.
Right.
And there's really only one space bar dividing the two. So it gets a little complicated. Do you take AI PAC money? Crypto spending a ton of money. Sports betting is spending a ton of money. And I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, wait a second, this is kind of fucked up. It's kind of weird that, you know, a pro-Israel organization can run attack ads on a candidate for their association with ICE, or can dump truck money into Illinois 9 under Elect Chicago Women.
Right.
And I'm just like, I feel like there's room for some transparency here.
For sure.
But again, Thomas Massey is really like the hardcore conservative of yesteryear. This man built like a national debt ticker. Like, how would you describe it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's got like, it's like a lapel pin, right?
We'll throw a picture of it up on the screen. Thomas Massey's beard, by the way, is doing a lot of heavy lifting. He looks pretty badass with the beard. And pre-beard Thomas Massey.
I just saw the ticker. He's calling it a debt badge.
Debt badge?
Yeah, so there's the premier like Domus Massey right there with the Death Badge.
Yeah, it's got a digital element to it. Yeah. And he made it himself. He's clearly got a lot of technological skills. I mean, he has dozens of patents, which, you know.
How many do you have?
I don't have any patents. I have the Gen Z activism industrial complex. That's my patent.
Okay. So we have Debt Man. We've seen this face. Now, has updated the beard? Go back to the beard. What are you thinking about the beard?
I mean, it's just a very great beard. It's the type of beard that does a lot of work for you in politics. I think there's some people where maybe the beard is not the option.
Yeah.
Other people where I see it working either way. To be honest, I don't have an opinion on Buttigieg. I think the beard looks fine.
Yeah.
I think I like shaved Buttigieg a little more.
I'm 50-50 as well.
It's fine.
I wrote an article last week, people can check out at theblog.com, about Roe and Massey and how it showed like this different model. Like the old model of getting shit done in Washington, right, was, you know, you work the inside game, you go into the Ways and Means Committee, you go do a bipartisan bill with someone on the other side, you know, and they're both establishment figures and they like meet the middle and you give them some pork and they give you, right? Like that's how shit worked in politics in the movies. And like there hasn't been any bipartisanship lately. Like there's been basically nothing. And Roe and Massey like offered this new model, which is kind of like an outsider's bipartisanship where they're both basically like, F the leadership. Like, we're going to press forward on these two things, Epstein and the Iran war vote, that we know that the people are for, but that's getting blocked. And I don't know. I'm kind of like interested by that model. And like Epstein and like Massey might be like basically the opposite of you politics wise, but like that is an appealing part of it for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Epstein and Iran are actually maybe the quintessential examples of the types of things that when we talk to conservatives, we can get them to say, yeah, this is too much.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, horseshoe theory leads to a lot of people becoming crackpot maniacs. But there's also a degree to which when you're thinking that outside the box, you can horseshoe into finding some things you agree on.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of Republicans, I talked to a guy pretty recently about this. A lot of Republicans wanted that isolationist Trump. They wanted that Trump who's not going to get involved with all this war shit. And these are people who don't necessarily listen to Bulwark or read any similar things and don't realize how bad we're getting fucking dog walked.
Yeah, right.
But they're sick of it and they've had enough. And I think what Roe and Massey have done is recognized that not only are they going to find these things we agree on, they're also going to do such as someone who was like a chair of the Bernie campaign and someone who wears the debt badge.
Right.
So it really goes to show a lot of things in government that don't happen that I think people want are actually not happening because there just isn't the political willpower to do it. Nobody's making people do it. So for example, before what Roe and Massey did on the Epstein files, if you had asked me about it, I said, well, there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah.
And here they are doing it.
And in the article I read, the poly market was like 11% likelihood that it was going to get released last summer.
I'm sorry, real quick. Why do you have the geese on your laptop?
Oh, because I like the geese.
Oh, you're just on Geese Reddit while we're talking about Iran and Epstein?
Yeah, can I not be on Geese Reddit?
No, you can be on Geese Reddit. For anyone who doesn't know,
I'm very able to. I'm like, I can multitask.
My bad. Yeah. fun behind the scenes FY pod fact, back when Tim and I had our duo show, if there was a guest who you thought was bad, and you know, I mean, there were some guests who I think were pretty organic on camera and pretty fun to watch, but weren't necessarily that insightful. I mean, it's hard. Like being organic and comfortable on camera and having something insightful to say are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And there are some people who really work on screen and have no depth, and people with a ton of depth who just don't work on screen.
Right.
And when we had a real stinker, when we, you know, we can't hit them all, you know, not every episode is going to be our only two-time guest, Terry Sisson. We would be texting each other. Like there were multiple episodes where we were like, what the fuck do we even say here?
We're doing our best because we want to create good content for you guys. You know, we want to make it good. All right. So Tuesday, you're with the debt badge man. Call your meemaw, everybody. Call your meemaw if they live in Kentucky 4. Massey is winning with voters under 64 and getting schlonged by all the senior citizens. And it's a problem.
Yeah. I think it's one of those elections that means a lot more than just the election. It's one of those elections that is a referendum on something. I think it's going to say a lot about money in politics, and it's going to say a lot about spending, because one thing that I think gets left out of certain conversations is that Harris outspent Trump, I think, 3-1. And the way that social media works, I think that what money in politics means and how necessary it is in certain ways, it's just shifting a little bit. So Massey's getting outspent to the gajillionth degree. And I guess we're about to learn if that still works.
All right.
Everybody, we got a great show for you this week. Talking about some bullshit. I'm going to let Tim go ahead.
I have other potpourri. You go do a puzzle at Toulouse, okay? We're going to finish the potpourri with everybody. Hey, everybody, look at Cameron Caskey. Isn't it nice to have him down here with me in New Orleans? Let's chat a little bit more about what else is happening out there in the news. Two things I just wanted to talk about. One is the ballroom, and the other is what we're seeing again with the spike in oil prices. All right, a couple things in the ballroom. First, we had a big ruling from the parliamentarian. The parliamentarian still matters in the U.S. Senate. And essentially the ruling was that they cannot do the funding for the ballroom within the reconciliation package. The sickos who have been following this stuff closely know that reconciliation is like the one budget bill a year that the Senate can push through going around the filibuster. Based on our current cockamamie system, you can do one budget bill a year, but the elements of that bill have to fit certain rules. And the ballroom funding, it was ruled, did not qualify. And so that means that in order to get funding for his ballroom, he would need 60 votes, which means he would need Democrats and not just John Fetterman, but some other Democrats. And so that is a hiccup for Trump, at least for now. We'll see what they do next. The thing, though, that I really wanted to show you about the ballroom and just about how sick the MAGA Christian nationalist movement is at this point, I wanted to show you this video from Rededicate 250 event. Let's watch.
It's hard to believe that it would take two centuries for the Lord to raise up a great man to bring that ballroom finally to stand where it needs to stand. It's extraordinary. We only had to wait 200 years.
That is Eric Metaxas. He is one of the MAGA charlatan pastors. We don't call him pastor around here. We just call him Eric, Mr. Eric. And yeah, Eric Metaxas thinks that, I guess, God's divine will is being served by this ballroom. He believes that it took two centuries for the Lord to raise up a great man who could bring that ballroom finally to stand. I mean, what? The loaves and the fishes, the water into wine, that God? That God's using his energy on Donald Trump's ballroom right now? And the other previous presidents did not have the Lord God at their back because they did not successfully get the ballroom. And like, these people are fucking nuts. How do you even do this with a straight face? Who's even listening to this? Even the craziest evangelical MAGA has got to be like, I want President Trump to succeed, but I'm not praying for the ballroom. A ballroom that finally needs to stand where it needs to stand. What? What in Jesus' teaching made you think that he cared about fancy ballrooms? And this is just a total affront. This guy is such a freaking clown. It's embarrassing, really. I saw him walking around TPUSA one time. And I don't know. Sometimes you can just sense it. I just looked at him and I felt like he knew. There was a sadness inside him, a desperation for recognition and a sadness. That's Eric Metaxas. The ballroom news, the Lord might be with Trump, but the parliamentarian is against. And as of right now, point to the parliamentarian. We'll see how that shakes out. The other thing I just wanted to mention here overnight, and obviously, this stuff is dynamic with the markets. But Trump once again told Iran that the clock is ticking. As a result, oil prices surged to above $107 a barrel, another spike. Not as high as we thought maybe it could have gone, but again, we're getting way outside that landman range of 60 to 90 bucks. Now we're back into the 107 territory. You can see the little green line popping up there. This is just going to be so hard for them to unravel. I don't know why the markets are so responsive to Trump's threats, because he's just been doing the same thing over and over again for like weeks now. We almost got a deal. We almost got a deal. If we don't have a good deal, I'm going to kill you. If we don't have a deal, I might skin your face. If we don't have a deal, I'm going to take the Iranian soccer team and send them to Guantanamo. If we don't get a deal, then I am going to bomb Tehran, the only city whose name I know in Iran. Like, he keeps doing the same thing. It is unbelievably weak and humiliating. Over and over again, Trump is doing this. He is just making these empty threats that he refuses to back up. And as a result, the strait stays closed. Prices keep going up. And there's, you know, in the good news side of things, there's additional pressure happening on oil prices now because of Ukraine's successful offensive going after more oil refineries in Russia, in Moscow. So like the global oil market is in tatters, and what Trump is doing right now is clock is ticking. It's like, hasn't it been ticking for months? What a wuss. It's so embarrassing and feckless. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed a little weekend potpourri, a little bonus time with Cameron. Appreciate Cameron for popping on here in my like not made for guest studio. I'll be back obviously on Monday with Bill Kristol. Well, I did let do a show with Cameron one time. If you want to go back in the FY Pod archives, it is a classic. I'll have Bill Kristol on tomorrow discussing all of this and much, much more. So we'll see you all then. Subscribe to the feed. Thanks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.